Jay Drew of the Deseret News. Kevin, I asked Coach Gard the same thing about contrasting styles, make good fights in boxing, but it looks like you and Wisconsin play a really similar style. What kind of game are we going to see tomorrow, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, they're super well-oiled machine offensively. They're a little bit more continuity-based than we are. But just on sheer numbers, you know, they get up a lot of threes, you know, kind of like we do as well. So I'd imagine, you know, it would be probably a high-scoring game. Obviously, we don't want it to be. We're locked in defensively on how we want to guard these guys. But they're impressive offensively, and, you know, we've had some nights where we've been able to score as well, so that's where it's headed.
Darnell Dixon, Daily Herald. You built a coaching staff kind of from scratch as you came in. What role did you see for the grad assistants, and specifically someone like Charles Abua, who's got 14 years experience playing pro ball?
Yeah, no, Charles is, he's probably one of the, if not the best GA in the entire country, just given, you know, like you said, his experience as a player professionally, but also super unique because he played at BYU. You know, he's played in this tournament. He was on a really good team. Just the way he's able to talk to the players, but specifically to the roles of the GAs. I mean, when I was in the NBA, we had quite a few what we call coaching associates, where they were basically ex-players that were basically practice players that wanted to get into coaching. Would use their playing experience to kind of get their foot in the door. We teach them how to use all the video equipment and stuff like that, and then they were able to spend quite a bit of time with the players along with the player development staff. Now, in college, you got so many different rules about who can be on the court, who can't, all this other kind of stuff. So the GAs have a little bit more flexibility with how much they can be on the floor with the players, and so getting guys with experience that – like Charles, look, we have a tremendous GA staff, I will say, you know, led by Charles, but that's kind of their main focus, those things.
Over here.
Hey, Coach, Eddie Pels from AP. I know we've talked a lot about you moving from pro game to this game, and I've read about how a lot of your decision was based around faith and family, but I was also wondering, like, ultimately, why you know, most coaches go from the college game to the pro game. Why you decided to take this chance, or what intrigued you about it?
Yeah, I mean, outside of the stuff you mentioned, I mean, I think BYU had a ton to do with it. I wasn't looking to make the move. Honestly, BYU was the only college that I'd ever even considered making the move for. It's a really unique university. I didn't go there. I have a lot of family that's gone there. My wife was a student there. A lot of ties to the state of Utah. But as I started to kind of look at it just from a sheer professional standpoint, I thought it was a place that was set up to succeed. You know, there's a lot of people that really care about BYU that want to see it do well. Once I started to really, really think about it, just kind of relished at the thought of being able to take a program that's been really good for pretty much its entire existence and trying to move the needle to places it's never been to, whether that's, you know, winning at the highest level, whether that's recruiting. And obviously that stuff's tied together, but I thought it would be a really good challenge. You know, when you're in the NBA for, you know, I was in the pro side for 17 years, and there's so many darn games in the NBA, man, you can kind of get in like cruise control mode, and you almost just kind of, you just kind of just know what to expect. And this kind of making this, you kind of 180, it's been a fun challenge, honestly, to learn something new at this stage in my career, you know, do something totally different, you know. I've always been intrigued with like the CEO nature of being a head coach, and that's something I learned a lot about working for good head coaches in the league. So when you're a college head coach, you're almost the CEO times 10 compared to what you are in the NBA. So that part intrigued me as well, and there was just a lot of things that I thought, man, this will be a fun challenge.
Back here, Coach.
Greg Wrubell, BYU Sports Network. Through the first couple of days, any takeaway moment, something that's kind of you've considered pretty special of the experience so far?
I don't know if I would just point to one moment. I mean, for me, like after we win, just seeing my wife and my two sons, my daughter, she had enough basketball at the Big 12 tournament, so she ditched us and stayed at home. But just seeing my boys courtside, you know, after a big win, especially in this type of environment, is special, and the rest of my family as well. But honestly, man, just the overall experience. You know, this is as big time as it gets. in all of basketball, but obviously specific to college. But I always get amazed at, you know, how many people reach out to me, you know, after a marquee win. It's just cool to kind of have, I've talked about this a lot before, but just how much basketball and sports, you know, keep relationships tight. And that's been cool the last couple of days, getting a lot of congratulatory text messages from kind of the who's who of the basketball world.
Back here, Jeff Lagwell, ESPN. I'm just curious, you know, coaches always talk about recruiting. Do you have like a retention plan to keep who you have that goes beyond sort of the NIL component?
Yeah. I mean, I think that is part of recruiting. You know, you got to recruit your own guys, especially in today's era. You know, I wish they all had like tater tot stories like Richie so we could dive into that with each one of them. But, you know, it's something we've talked about as a staff, you know, as the season's gone on. And that's actually impacted some of my decisions as it relates to, you know, which coaches work with which players. You know, early on, it was kind of we had guys, coaches bucketed up with certain players, and then I kind of decided to just open that up a little bit more so the players can get relationships with the entire staff. Maybe they connect with someone more than somebody else, and maybe that aids in their decision to come back and so forth. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if anyone, clearly I don't because I'm new to this thing, but I don't know if anyone has a clear science to how to do it. I think the thing that I try to do to the best of my ability, and this is how we've designed our program, is to make it all about player development. And so whether a guy's playing a ton of minutes or playing not a ton of minutes, the one thing that they can all say is that we pour everything we have into helping these guys get better. And I think if you look at our entire roster, I think we've been able to do that for the most part.
Right here.
Chris Thomas in Denver Gazette. You guys have a player from Russia, two from Mali, one from Australia, one from Serbia. What's it like having so much international flavor on this team?
It's really cool. And that's another thing I love about basketball. It just brings so many people together that you would otherwise maybe not be connected to. I've always loved that part about sports. But, yeah, it's cool. You know, a lot of different – you know, experiences because of the backgrounds our guys come from. I'm one of the few coaches and players on staff that only speaks one language, so that's pretty cool. I think it makes our locker room unique and mature.
Kevin, when the guys were up here before you, they were pretty, I don't know, lighthearted, loose, didn't look like the moment was getting to them at all. Is that how you would describe kind of what it's been like since you won the game yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I think our group does a good job of just balancing, you know, being, you know, serious-minded, but not to the point where they get too tight. Yeah, I think it speaks to, you know, their experience. You know, a lot of these guys have been here before, and it is a balancing act for sure, but I think it's important to, you know, not take things too serious.
Jackson Payne, Deseret News. Whoa, that was crazy. Going off that last question, coming off an emotional win, heading into the second round, does your messaging to the team change at all, or are you trying to keep it consistent from round one?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I try to do as a coach, and this is just based off of experience, you know, I try to address the elephant in the room as much as I possibly can. And so what was on my mind this morning, I was thinking about what I would say to the guys before we really got going was, you know, you're obviously excited about beating, you know, getting a win in a tournament. But you can't let your guard down. You know, you got to, the urgency and the focus has to even go up another notch as opposed to letting it come down. I mean, the guys probably get so sick of me talking about my previous experience, but it's all I have to reference. So for me, you know, when we were in the NBA finals, we went up 2-0. Against Milwaukee, and you're thinking, man, we're like two wins away from winning an NBA championship. And I think, you know, I think the guard got let down a little bit, and so I just talked to them about that. And, you know, you can't let your guard down. If anything, you have to ratchet up the intensity and the focus. I mean, urgency and focus were two words we talked about a lot coming into this tournament. And we talked a lot this morning about having those things get turned up even more so there is no letdown.
Anything else? One.
Braden Allfrey, Daily Universe coach, playing off of your experience in the NBA, how has the NBA helped you and your staff as you prepare for these quick turnarounds in the next opponent?
Yeah, I mean, I was just talking about this earlier with somebody. I mean, in the NBA, if you're on a good team and you're putting together over 100 game plans a season, and I was on seven straight years, we made it to the playoffs, and most of those were at least second round or past. So I rely on my experience of just putting game plans together to stop, you know, the best players in the world. So there's tons of reference points. I always think, like, okay, well, we tried this against Jason Tatum, or we tried this against Luka, or whatever the case may be. And so I draw on that quite a bit, actually. And, you know, there's certain things that, you know, are different, obviously. But for me, that gives me a lot of, I think, just comfort. And I think it gives our players, you know, comfort. Like, hey, this isn't like our, and not just me either. I mean, I got a coach that's coaching two Olympic games. I got a coach that's coaching 6 years in a EuroLeague. I mean, these are cutthroat leagues that these guys have come from, not to mention a handful of really experienced college coaches, too. So I think our guys appreciate our coaching staff's experience, and I think it's allowed us to gain their trust, whatever the game plan is.